I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Brandon Kylie to my right, donning the blue of the Mill Valley. What are they, the Wildcats, the Bobcats?
Come on now, man. They're the Jaguars.
They're the Jaguars. I didn't know that. I've never been to Mill Valley before in my entire life. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know where Mill Valley is.
I'm repping Mill Valley bowling today, my friend.
Donning the blue of Mill Valley, the Jaguars, quarterbacked by Blake Bortles, one of the only Brad Fanning. How you doing today, man?
Good, man. How you doing? Happy Friday to everybody. The sun's out. It's getting a little bit warmer. But it's still going to be a beautiful weekend.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll take a trip down memory lane with maybe the most important player in Chiefs history. We'll also give you a chance to win a free large pizza, courtesy of The Other Place. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here. We got a lot of KU to get into. We got a lot of Chiefs to get into. We got another pick a player involving our producer, Brandon Kylie. We've got more random facts. We got a lot of fun planned on a Friday.
How'd the pick a player go? Is it better this time with BK or no?
I'd maybe rank it a 6.5 out of 10. Like, it's definitely winnable today. You know what I mean?
Last week, 4.5-ish?
I'm giving you 4.2. I don't know if I'm rounding up to that 0.5. You didn't really do a lot of 0.5 work last week. No, I'm giving it like a solid 6.5.
You're talking about my performance?
Yes, you did not knock it out of the park today.
I would give it like a 3. I feel like that's being kind.
Okay. My bad. I was trying to be generous to the young king. Nice. But he was really, really bad in this. So, no, happy Friday to everybody. Hopefully you're out there staying warm. We appreciate you making the drive your destination at 2 o'clock. All right, guys. I'm willing to concede this.
Finally.
I'm willing to have an honest conversation about it.
Wait a minute, an honest one.
Because I've not been willing to have honest conversations about it. To be quite honest with you guys, I think it's been some fear-mongering amongst KU fans. But I'm willing to entertain the possibility. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm still not there. Not after losing to K-State, not after this Legero Vic news. I'm still not all the way there. But I'm willing to entertain the possibility that the streak is coming to an end. And for the first time, I am starting to believe the streak is going to come to an end. Now, many of you have been at this place for a long time, and I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm still not willing to fully jump out there in the ocean. Okay. I'm not willing to take the life jacket off and go ahead and say that K-State's winning the league or that Iowa State's winning the league or that Texas Tech has won the league. I'm not at that point. But when it rains, it pours. And somebody once great told me that in order for it to have a rainbow, it's got to rain at some point. And I feel like it's been raining for Kansas for like the last, I don't know, 2 months. Whether it's Udoka Azubuike, whether it's Silvio DeSosa, whether it's now Legero Vic. I just don't know if KU has the horses to do it. Maybe I should. But I haven't seen enough from Dedrick Lawson and Devon Dotson.
I mean, Dedrick Lawson is leading the league in scoring.
You need other guys, too.
And in rebounding.
He ain't LeBron.
I'm just putting it out there.
I don't want to make it seem like Dedrick Lawson is LeBron and then he can just carry any roster that you put around him. Because I've seen that work, and it ain't working the same way it works with the Cavs. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if they have the horses to do it. When I'm looking at this starting five, for the first time, I would say in a very long time, I don't believe KU has the best starting five in the conference. Not right now. I don't know how you can see the starting five that Kansas State has put together and think that KU is more talented than them. I don't know if you can look at the depth that K-State has and think that KU is better than them. Yes, they have Allen Fieldhouse. Yes, they have the coach. I just don't know if KU has the horses to win the Big 12 this year, and I have not been at that point for a very long time.
I can tell you right now that they don't. I mean, if Marcus Garrett comes back this weekend, you know, for tomorrow's game against Oklahoma State, you got Quentin Grimes, who struggled mightily. You got Devon Dotson in there. You got Dedrick Lawson. They don't have the experience or the horses to pull this thing off. Now, I will say this. Like, this could very easily be the thing that sinks KU. And you know me. I'm glass half empty when it comes to Kansas, right? I mean, I was that way last year. And I've been that way this year, considering they're 1-6 in true road games. So this could be the thing. And, I mean, if you look at it logically, this could be the thing that sinks. The Gerald Vick leaving the team could be the thing that sinks him. But on the flip side of that, let's look at the other side of it. And I do think there's a decent chance that this could be the thing that sparks KU. We've seen crazier things happen. And when I saw the news last night and I saw the statement on Twitter about Gerald Vick leaving for personal reasons effective immediately, I thought, man, they're cooked. And then I thought, man, maybe it's addition by subtraction. Maybe getting Gerald Vick out of there, who's kind of squirrely, your only senior, certainly not a leader, very inconsistent. Maybe eliminating him from the lineup and from that basketball team for a while is the thing that puts him over that might get him back on track. Now, that's a stretch. I understand that that's a complete stretch because I think if you use common sense, you're like, man, you're taking away their best three-point shooter, a guy that's accounted for a ton of threes for them, and they can't shoot the ball anyway, so there's no way that they have a chance to win it. I'm with you they don't have the horses, they don't have the starting five to be able to hang with K-State. I'm with you on that, but I am curious to see how this team responds because if you look at what they did, you know, after Silvio got ruled ineligible, Marcus Garrett got hurt in practice, they went out there and absolutely smoked Texas Tech. Now, granted, that was at home at Allen Fieldhouse, but this could be the thing. I mean, if you want to go glass half full on this, it could be the thing that kind of gets them back on track.
This is my question, because that's not a bad strategy to have. My question would be, who? Who do we think it's going to spark? Do we think that the addition by subtraction is good for Charlie Moore, that he's going to be getting more minutes now? Is it going to be better that maybe Quentin Grimes is getting more minutes? I like Agbaji. I don't know how many more minutes you can play him, just given his experience and all that things. And I like him. I think you could argue he's their second best player, certainly now after Gerald Vick taking this leave of absence. Marcus Garrett's injured right now. Is this going to spark Mitch Lightfoot?
Anyway. Yeah. It's got to be Quentin Grimes. Quentin Grimes, if you're asking me, if you want a name, it's got to be Quentin Grimes.
That if you're telling me, just as somebody who, I know you guys don't believe me, just a neutral observer, if you're telling me that whether this team wins or loses the Big 12 is based on Quentin Grimes.
Yeah, they're screwed.
They're done. Yeah. They're done in terms of winning the conference. This is still going to be a team that's a 3 seed in the tournament, still going to be a team that's a 4 seed in the tournament, but it's over then. If you're telling me that the season 4 Kansas basketball hinges on the productivity of Quentin Grimes, who has scored double digits in one of their last 10 games, then you ain't winning the league, and that goes to my point of they just don't have the horses. If we had sat and made a list at the very beginning of the season, a power ranking of who KU's top 5 players were, who their most important players were, 3 of them are not going to play their next game. We agree, Udoka Azubuike, probably their most important player. Mm-hmm. Him or Diedrich, you can argue 1 or 2. Udoka Azubuike, not going to play in this game. Vic, the only senior on this team, the guy that can space the floor, a guy that can hit shots, not playing in Saturday's game. Silvio De Sousa, there certainly was a belief that at some point Silvio was going to come back. He's not there. Quentin Grimes, we probably would have made a list. He's one of their top 5 players. Playing bad basketball at this point. I just don't know if they have the talent to overcome it when we can all agree they're not the most talented team. And, again, I got to hold myself accountable for this. I've been evaluating KU based on past standards. I'm now willing to start talking about this individual team, not the 2011 team that had Sharon, not all these other teams. You guys are talking about the 2019 Kansas Jayhawks. They're not the most talented team. They're not the deepest team in the Big 12. That's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely blood in the water, and the Sharks are circling for sure. If I'm Bill Self, here's what I do, C-Dot, because I do think it has to be Quentin Grimes. It has to be the guy that steps up. And I think, based on what I've seen from him, I think he's lost complete confidence in his game. So if I'm Self, I go to Quentin Grimes and I say this. Remember what you did against Michigan State? You came out red hot, scored 21. You put on 21 on a national stage against one of the best teams in the country. Where did that guy go? Because you can be that kid again. You're a top 10 recruit in the country. You've got the ability. You've got everything you need. You've got the support. You've got the coaching. We are behind you. We have your back. Go out there, have fun, play basketball, play confidently. Because I do feel like when you look at the way Quentin Grimes is playing right now, he's lost complete confidence. And I don't care what sport you play, whether it's baseball or golf or football. If you've lost your confidence, you're done. So I start building him up. I start loving up me some Quentin Grimes. And I say, kid, you know, you came here. It's a one stop for you. And then you're heading to the NBA. And he still may, because that's basically, you know, they draft guys, you know, based on projection instead of what they've actually done in the college game. So I love me up some Quentin Grimes. And I talk him up. I get him fired up, and I love him up. And I say, you can go out there and do this. And if we're going to go do this, you need to be a huge part of this. We're counting on you, kid, and we believe in you. That's what I would do to try to get him back on track. Because you're right. If Quentin Grimes doesn't become the player that we all thought he was, or the player that we saw in the opening game against Michigan State, then KU's cooked.
Which we agree a lot has changed since November, and now teams have much more understanding of what you can or cannot do in February than they had on your game back in November. I want to read for you guys a quote. This is from LeGero Vick's mother, Lala Vick. She told this to the Kansas City Star last night, and Jesse Newell, good reporting by them. Quote, we need him here for a couple of weeks. Quote, I need him. There's a lot going on. It'll work out. Because I think in the beginning of this, a lot of us thought that he just got kicked off the team. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. When saw the leave of absence thing, I thought they were dressing it up. I thought they were spitting it. I thought that behind closed doors, based on how he played on Tuesday, based on their past relationship, that LeGero Vick was kicked off the team. That was my initial read on the situation. I think it was very easy to put 1 + 1 together to equal 2. But now, when you get this quote from Lala Vick that says, we need him here for a couple of weeks. When Bill Self meets with the media today, and this is from Matt Galloway, Bill Self says that KU basketball will move forward at practices like it won't get Vick back. But though he says there's a, quote, great chance they will at some point, also announced that Marcus Garrett is not going to play tomorrow, and Self hasn't decided on a starting lineup. I think LeGero Vick is coming back. Now, I don't know when he's coming back. But if you ask me right now, if there was a button in front of me, if you gave me the $1 million bet and said, what would I bet on? I bet that Vick plays in the Big 12 tournament. That's what I would bet. Because whether Self wants to admit it, whether KU fans want to admit it because of his personality and some of the clashes, they need him this year. When I look at the talent on this roster and I look at what Vick does and I look at what Vick brings to this roster, I think about his experience and playing in Final Fours and big-time games. Kansas basketball needs Vick to come back at some point. So I do think he'll come back. If you had to ask me, I would say by the Big 12 tournament, I think Vick's back on the court.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's back, to be honest with you. And I think his mother said what she should say. We just need him for a couple of weeks. I need him home right now. And I think Self said the right thing with like, yeah, you know, we'll take him back. You know, if we can get him back, we'll take him back because you certainly don't want to close the door on anything. I mean, hell, we thought LeGero Vick was not going to be a Kansas Jayhawk anymore. And according to the stories that I read, you know, Bill Self had said, hey, go to the NBA, great. But if not, you're not. You can play somewhere else. You're not coming back here. And LeGero Vick did come back. So maybe you're right, C-Dot. Maybe Vick does come back. I don't know. But there's enough surrounding those two's their relationship that it makes me think that there's more to this than just a family emergency. And maybe that's all it is. Maybe that's all it is. I mean, I think we can both agree, if you watched LeGero Vick play the other night, he looked out of it. Like, he looked like his head was not in the game. And maybe that is because there's something going on at home. I don't know.
He played like it.
Yeah, he did. You're right. And then you took a shot. You saw him on the bench during the game, and he looked like he was not in the game whatsoever. So maybe it is something going on at home. I will agree with you on this. I do think that KU needs him, whether they like it or not. I agree with you on that. I'm just not so sure he's going to be back at all this year.
Coming up in just a little bit, there was a poll on 610 Twitter account that I think says a lot about Chiefs fans. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Dylan Hunt in the backfield. Little shovel pass. Caught by Hunt. Broke a tackle of Ruby. Hurdles him at the 5. Count it for a touchdown.
Back in on The Drive. Carrington here. BK here. Fanning here. Taking you up until 6 o'clock. Yesterday, in a teleconference, Brett Veach addressed the issue of Kareem Hunt.
Again, when you talk about Kareem, I think our focus on Kareem is making sure that he's getting the help he needs and he gets his life straight first. And, you know, everything else after that, you know, is not as important. Just making sure that, you know, he and his family are in a good place and they're working to get better every day.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I thought the book was pretty much closed on Kareem Hunt. But then today, on our 610 Twitter account, I wake up at 7:54 in the morning. So I assume Ryan Wachowski put this up. Would you be all right with the Chiefs re-signing Kareem Hunt? I voted no on it, but I was more just kind of curious to see what the thing was. Like, I wish they would just let you see the results. 71% of people voted for yes in this, that they would be all right with Kareem Hunt coming back. 29% of people voted no, they would not be all right with Kareem Hunt coming back. This is my thing. Let's attack this logically. If the Chiefs' plan was to bring Kareem Hunt back on the team in the 2019 season, why would they have done all that they've done. If your plan was to bring him back at the end of the season, wouldn't you just announce a suspension and then give a plan for rehabilitation moving forward? Why would you then cut the player, allow any team to go pick him up? Why wouldn't you just keep him under your provision, keep him under your care, say, hey, we're shutting Kareem Hunt down for the rest of the season. We're going to take him to a rehab. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that he's a better person, but he's still part of this family. So he's not going to play until we feel like he is worthy of doing that. We agree that would have been the best case scenario if their plan was to bring him back. Still on a rookie contract, third round deal. Like now, it will likely be more expensive for them to bring Kareem Hunt back just based on veteran minimums and all that kind of stuff. Based on now the suitors of it, he is now a free agent. The Chiefs are likely not going to be the only team interested in Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
If their plan was to not have Kareem Hunt play in the 2018-2019 season, but bring him back for the 2019-2020 season, why would they have done everything they've done? To me, cutting him tells me you're done. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
He's not coming back at any point. So I'm surprised that this has become a topic and people are entertaining the notion that Kareem Hunt could return to this organization.
I mean, the farther you get away from something, the more people forget about it and how it affected everybody, right? I mean, we haven't seen the video of him pushing the girl in the hallway and then kicking her when she's on the ground. We haven't seen that video in a long, long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs didn't go to the Super Bowl. You know, the running game lacked. And you've got Chiefs fans thinking, eh, at least 71% of them on this non-scientific Ryan Witkowski poll, that they would bring him back. I don't think there's any way in hell the Chiefs bring him back at all. I don't think it's a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen. You know, now playing to your side of it, their plan could have been cut him, and this was shortly after the Reuben Foster incident with the 49ers. And then the Redskins picked him up, and the Redskins got a ton of crap from everybody all over the country for picking up Reuben Foster, considering what he was accused of doing with the 49ers. I think the Chiefs knew that nobody was going to pick up Kareem Hunt. Not after what happened in the Reuben Foster deal. Nobody's going to touch him with a 10-foot pole. Not coming near that, not after the backlash that the Redskins got after picking up Reuben Foster. And I think the Chiefs probably knew that, and maybe their plan was down the road, we'll reevaluate it and potentially bring him back. But I don't think the Chiefs have a choice, and truthfully, I don't think they're even going to touch him. I don't think he's coming back here at all.
But again, I'm saying is even if that's the case, you agree that you've now opened it up, that now, mm-hmm. I'm with you, no one was going to do it during the season. So mm-hmm. technically, you were the only team that had access to Kareem Hunt. You could have just suspended him and kept him, but now you have run the risk of letting the Bears get involved with Kareem Hunt. Now it becomes a little bit of a bidding war. You've allowed mm-hmm. the Eagles to get into it. You've allowed the league,
mm-hmm.
if we want to talk about it from a football standpoint, you have allowed a 23, 24-year-old, very talented running back, a lot of tread left on the tire. You have now opened him up for now, a market inefficiency. People are going to be able to say, hey, we could have got, I mean, if Kareem Hunt had hit the open market, he would have got Todd Gurley money. He'd have got Le'Veon Bell money. Now you're telling me we can sign him to a two-year prove-it kind of deal for 2 years, $8 million like mm-hmm. Damian Williams. And now if you get four or five suitors in it, that 2 years, $8 million turns into 2 years, $12 million. You could have already had him on the team for that contract if you had just been more patient. You always say this when it comes to things,
mm-hmm.
that what we know is just a small percentage of what's happening behind the scenes.
Sure.
We think there's a chance that the only incidents Kareem Hunt's had are the ones we know about because of TMZ, or mm-hmm. is it likely that the Chiefs have been dealing with this stuff for a very long time with Kareem
yeah.
Hunt? We found out 15% of it, 20% of it, and they're like, hey, we don't want to run the risk of everybody else finding out the other 80%.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want everybody to find out all the other stuff that we've been dealing about. Think about mm-hmm. it. There was that week where it was boom, boom, boom. We were finding out everything about Kareem Hunt. I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. I don't think the only instances Kareem Hunt has had with alcohol and women were in that hotel room at Mosaic the one time and then that party in, was it Put-in Bay or however you pronounce
it? Yeah, Put-in Bay, the island out in Lake Erie.
I'm going to guess you've had other ones.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs have known that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came out, they were like, we can't deal with this anymore. Mm-hmm. At some point, it has to be somebody else's problem. But I think the Chiefs just made the very conscious decision of, this is just going to be somebody else's problem.
And let's not forget to factor in that he lied to the Chiefs about it. You know, he lied about it. He lied about what happened in that hotel hallway in Cleveland. He lied to the Chiefs about that. And that was the thing, I think, that put him over the top. You know, in addition to him kicking the girl that was on the floor in the hallway of the hotel. I guarantee you, and I've been told that the Chiefs were well aware of this stuff, well before any of these big-time instances came around. The Chiefs know what goes on with their players, especially in public. They're pretty locked in. You know, for the most part, they know a lot of different stuff that goes on. I don't think the Chiefs want to have anything to do with Kareem Hunt and bringing him back. And, you know, some people may have heard Brett Veach differently than I did. I heard it like, hey, we're willing to support him, help him get his life back in order, but he's not coming back here to play in Kansas City again. So I don't think there's any chance in hell, no matter of a poll that says 71% of Chiefs fans want him back at Kansas City, I don't think there's a chance in hell he comes back, here.
I kind of heard it like a never say never. Like if somebody asks you, do you plan on going back to TV? And you just say, well, you know, I mean, I'll keep the option open. Maybe you have no interest in going back to TV, but you just don't want to say, hell no, I'm not going back to TV. That's kind of how I heard it, more of a never say never mentality. I firmly believe that Kareem Hunt next year is just going to go play for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Like literally all the smoke, all the fire around Kareem Hunt is only around one organization. It's the Bears. Their players are talking about it. Allen Robinson said this to the Chicago Sun-Times. Quote, from when I met him and everything like that, for us to bring him into our locker room, I think guys would welcome him with open arms. Quote, a guy that we would bring into our locker room would be our brother. He'd be one of us. The only team that to me is actively recruiting him, who has a head coach that was his offensive coordinator that knows him, that was around the process. I guess you could argue the Eagles because Doug Peterson was around for it. It would be the Bears. Like, I think Kareem Hunt is going to play for the Bears. I think that's the team that gives him a second chance.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, and I'm not saying – I don't know where Kareem Hunt is. I don't know where he is in his rehab, if that's what you want to call it. I know he's looking at some anger management issues. There were some alcohol things that he needed to deal with. I think Kareem Hunt at some point deserves a second chance for sure. That's not what I'm saying. I just don't think it's going to come in Kansas City. Now, if you talk to Chiefs players, and they probably told you honestly – off the record, I bet you we hear a lot of the same things from them. Yeah, we'd welcome back into our locker room and we treat him like a brother. Because I think they would, especially if he went out and he got the help that he wanted. But Chiefs players aren't the guys that are making the decision here. And guess what? Neither are Bears players either. It's the guys above them. And I think Kareem Hunt will get a second chance if he did all the right things after the Chiefs cut him. I think he'll get a second chance. I just don't think it's coming in Kansas City.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll take a trip down memory lane with maybe the most important player in Chiefs history. We'll do that next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll give you a chance to win a free large pizza from The Other Place and our pop quiz. We'll also learn more about our producer, Brandon Kylie, with Brandon's Random Facts. And we will all take a minute. But 19 years ago today, Derek Thomas died a tragic death.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe that it's 19 years, right, that Derek Thomas passed away. I mean, where does the time go? When I think of Derek Thomas, and I'm a little bit older than you guys, so I remember a time when Kansas City was nowhere close to being a football town. I mean, in the mid to late 70s, pretty much the entire 80s, this was not a football town in Kansas City. I remember my good friend Lee Judge, who used to work at the Kansas City Star, he would tell me that they would just walk around and they would hand out 5-6 tickets to every employee. He would take the family to the game and they could have a seat in between each other and you could take the newspaper, kind of hang out, be outside and watch an NFL football game. And I know that blows you away to this day, but that's the way it used to be in Kansas City. So when Derek Thomas was drafted by the Chiefs in 1989 and Marty Schottenheimer was hired, that's when the franchise changed. I mean, let me put this in perspective for you. Before DT and Marty, the Chiefs had one playoff appearance in the previous 17 years. Think about that. The previous 17 years, the Chiefs had only gone to the playoffs one time. And that was when they went in 1986 and John McAvitt was their head coach and it wasn't even close. They lost on the road to the New York Jets. Since those two arrived, 15 playoff appearances and two AFC title games in 30 years. So Derek Thomas, in my opinion, is probably the most important Chief. Now, Mahomes may be that guy at some point, but Derek Thomas changed the direction of this franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was certainly part of it. I think at some point we need to have a conversation as a city about Carl Peterson's place.
Mm-hmm.
Because, say, Derek Thomas, somebody had to draft him. I mean, Carl Peterson drafted, what is it now, 3 Hall of Famers?
Mm-hmm.
Drafted Will Shields, drafted Tony Gonzalez, drafted Derek Thomas, not counting other players that he's drafted. Like, part of the tailgate, part of the fan experience. I'm with you. Derek Thomas and that great defense, whether it was Derek Thomas, Neil Smith, Dan Salamu, we all know the names on that defense. A lot of the Arrowhead mystique was envisioned by two people, Lamar Hunt and Carl Peterson. I understand the frustration of they never got over the hump. He never got you the quarterback. Frustration and not drafting a quarterback. Carl Peterson, to me, deserves to be standing side by side if you want to talk about people that changed the culture around the Chiefs. He is as much a part of it as Marty Schottenheimer, as much a part of it as Derek Thomas, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying on the field, Derek Thomas made defense cool in Kansas City. I mean, coming around that edge, strip sack, you know, I mean that made that – and that's when Arrowhead became Arrowhead, too. I mean, that's the other part of it. When you saw Derek Thomas coming around the edge and going after the quarterback, and you knew, and Chiefs fans became legitimate football fans, and they understood that you're quiet when the offense is on the field and you're loud as hell when the defense is on the field, that's what you do. And you're right, Carl Peterson certainly gets a part of that. I would actually put Carl ahead of Lamar in that, because Lamar owned the team for a long, long time, and he hung on to Jack Stedman for a long, long time when the Chiefs struggled for a ton of years. Carl Peterson for sure, but drafting Derek Thomas turned Arrowhead into Arrowhead and changed the Chiefs forever.
I think you'll see that most of the time your team is going to take the identity of its best player. Mm-hmm. Now, Mahomes right now is their best player, so we agree. It's a flashy offense, down the field kind of offense. That's mm-hmm. how it was. The team in the 90s took the personality of Derek Thomas. They were get after the quarterback, defense, tomahawk chop. We're going to take the football away. We're going to run the ball and play great defense kind of teams. So if you want to talk about how like teams kind of gravitate towards certain people, look at the Warriors with Steph Curry. Like sure. That team is kind of arrogant. They shoot threes and turn their back because that's how Steph plays. If you want to talk about the Arrowhead mystique and maybe gravitating towards one person, Derek Thomas led it. He was their best player, and their offense wasn't very good. So, I mean, the exciting play was it wasn't just getting to the quarterback. It was we're going to get to the quarterback, and we are going to take the ball away. If you want to think of defensive moves and people that have kind of changed things, Derek Thomas, it was a I'm going to get to you. I'm going to hit your wrist and knock the football out of it, and I'm going to change the momentum of the game. That I would say everybody that's done it since has been inspired by Derek Thomas and Neil Smith and their ability to get to the quarterback and their ability to take the ball away.
And here's what Bill Moss had to say to the Kansas City Star after the passing of Derek Thomas.
He would always have that big smile on his face, you know. He'd come off the field, he was smiling. He was in the huddle, he was smiling. But there were several times he got really angry, you know. He just got that rage about him. You know, and you knew we were in some big games. It was come playoff time or against the Raiders when they came to in the AFC wild card game to Kansas City. And you could see him, and it was a fun way to see him because you always saw the big jovial smile.
Yeah, and that was essentially Derek Thomas. When I was working in Toledo, the offensive line coach at the time was one of the defensive coaches down in Alabama when Derek Thomas was there. And the rule was, if you recruited that player and that player broke a rule, showed up late, the punishment was on you. And typically what you did is you said, hey, that player has to come in at 4:30 and you make him run. And so I was talking to this coach and I said, so what'd you do with Derek Thomas? I'm from Kansas City. I'm curious. And he goes, Derek Thomas was habitually late. And I think by now we know that was one of the problems and actually one of the things that led to the accident that he was in on those icy roads when he was driving to St. Louis without a seatbelt. And he told me that he had Derek Thomas out there at 4:30 in the morning on the practice field at Alabama, and he was running him up and down the field. And he couldn't wear him out at all because that's the way Derek Thomas was built. You couldn't wear him out at all. So what he made him do was do somersaults up and down the field until he got sick to his stomach. But that tells you, Derek Thomas was an absolute athletic freak of nature. He could run and he could go all day.
You do talk about lessons and things that I think you should take away from the Derek Thomas story. I think the number one is wear the seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the number one story. Like, I remember as a kid, and I remember my mom kind of pushing, like, that was the lesson to take from Derek Thomas was wear your seatbelt. Like, the Derek Thomas story is a lot different if he just changes one thing, if he puts a seatbelt on that day.
And you were there that day, the funeral at Arrowhead Stadium, right, or the visitation?
Yeah, they had some visitation. I remember my stepdad took me, his body was, they had it in the casket, and it was on the field, and you could walk down the steps, you could go on the field for a little bit and kind of pay your respects and walk around. And my stepdad, Derek Thomas, was his favorite player, so mm-hmm. it was an emotional time for him. It was a big sure. deal. But, yeah, I remember going down to Arrowhead and seeing that.
What was the vibe? I mean, what, were you 11 at the time? Is that right?
I mean, obviously very somber. I mean, certainly wasn't very festive. I mean, it was different just because of you don't really ever get to pay respects to a professional athlete, and I had just really no consciousness of it. Like,
sure.
I didn't know the man, but I knew obviously what he meant to the city. So, no, it was definitely different to be in that situation.
Yeah, and I was not living in Kansas City at the time, and I remember seeing the video of that. And yeah, it was one of the most emotional times too, because it felt like the end of an era in Kansas City, and you wondered which direction the franchise was going to go after that. Because again, I still consider him maybe the most important player, not person, but the most important player in Chiefs history. Because if not for DT back then, because as you mentioned, like Mahomes right now in this offense is dynamic. People go to the game to see the offense. Back then, Marty Schottenheimer's offense was not dynamic. You know, it was screen passes and handed off to Barry Word and Christian Okoye, and maybe throw it to Stephon Page. You know, and that was really about it back then, and it was all about defense. And so when he passed, I was curious what would happen to the Chiefs franchise, because he changed everything in Kansas City. I would say that Derek Thomas basically, and single-handed is probably the wrong way to say it, but from a player's perspective, single-handedly turned Kansas City into a football town.
I want to play this for you. This is some of his former teammates on their thoughts on the DT legacy.
One guy that could change the outcome of the game at any given point in time.
During the course of every game, the opposing offense had to account for Derek Thomas.
When he went out, he always played at a level, and you always knew that he was going to play at a level that was going to bring everybody else's level up.
Derek had the ability, and he used it to the fullest, and, you know, it was a shame that, you know, he left us so soon.
I heard, he's just a sacker. Yeah, but you know what? When you turn the ball over, you literally change the momentum of the game. That's what I call a Hall of Famer, a guy that can literally change the momentum of the game.
And he did, you know, with the seven-sack game against the Seattle Seahawks, with getting to the quarterback, and we were having this discussion before the show, and you guys, you and BK were saying that, you know, Derek Thomas, like, pass rushers molded himself after him, like he was a prototype. I would go back a little bit. I think you're right, but I also think Lawrence Taylor was the prototype when it came to that. But Derek Thomas made you feel in Kansas City that you had your own version of Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, no, I agree. I look at kind of the pass rusher that Lawrence Taylor was, and I think you can make an argument that Lawrence Taylor is probably the greatest defensive player in the history of the NFL. You can certainly make it kind of like, you know, just like with music, to like James Brown, like Michael Jackson learned from him. You can certainly say, like, if you look at somebody like Von Miller, he got his stuff from Derek Thomas, who got his stuff from Lawrence Taylor, who got his stuff from Deacon Jones. Like, how it just kind of gets passed down, and now you're trying to find who that next crop of young pass rushers is.
Yeah, and I think we thought in Kansas City we had it in Justin Houston, right? I mean, because You get a strip sack in Kansas City, and I know it's big in other towns, but you get a strip sack at Arrowhead Stadium, and that place absolutely erupts because you go back to a time when DT was here and DT was doing it. And again, if you just happen to join us, it's the 19-year anniversary of the passing of Derek Thomas, a guy that I think shaped and changed a football in Kansas City forever. From the 913, when I think of DT, I think about when celebs die. All their bad stuff comes out, like all of some other things. And I disagree with that. You know, I think I remember the good things when it happens to Derek Thomas and the seatbelt thing, and that's it. I think of the seatbelt thing, and I think about all of the good things and the way Derek Thomas changed this city and turned it into a football town. But because before that, it was all Royals baseball in Kansas City in the 80s, in the 70s, in the 80s, all Kansas City Royals baseball. And then when Marty and DT arrived in Kansas City, everything changed.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win a large pizza from The Other Place. And we'll learn more about our producer, Brandon Kiley, and Brandon's random facts. All that coming up is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Well, let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes or so, Fanny thinks this could be the beginning of the end for Bill Self at Kansas. We'll talk about that. We'll get back into the Legero Vic news. As you heard earlier today, Legero Vic is taking a leave of absence from the University of Kansas. He is going home to Memphis with his family. We do not know when he will come back, but Self seems to think there's a chance he could come back. His mom says it's just going to be a couple of weeks. We'll certainly keep you updated if anything happens with Legero Vic. But right now, he is taking a leave of absence from the Kansas Jayhawks. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll give you a chance to win a large pizza from The Other Place, and we'll also learn more about our producer, Brandon Kiley, and Brandon's random facts. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. But BK, give me a minute, please. I am all for the expansion of really good ideas. Now, one idea I've had for a very long time is I got tired of East and West. I thought either they should do USA against the world in the All-Star game, which would have been fun, or what they're doing right now. So if you missed it right after we got out of the show, They had LeBron James, and they had Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I probably mispronounced his name.
A little bit. So they did Charles.
So they had them do an NBA draft of all-stars and who they were going to be at their team. And to show you how smart LeBron James was, he was only taking guys that are going to be free agents or have the exact same agent that he has. Like, LeBron is out here playing chess, not checkers with you guys. There was a trade at the end of it. There were jokes. There was laughter back and forth. Why can't we expand this draft idea? You know what they need to do? The Friday before the celebrity game, every NBA all-star needs to be on the court. And I'm talking about like you're at your local YMCA or the community center. LeBron needs to be on one side. Giannis needs to be on one side. Every player needs to be mic'd up. You need to be pointing at the guys you want and bringing them on your side, because I want to see the look and reaction on an NBA player's face when he realized that you were picked last in this draft. That's what we need to do. Adam Silver, listen to me, man. That's my minute for the day.
You want shirts and skins too? What do you want?
No, I mean, I want them to wear jerseys out here.
Okay.
What I'm saying is they should do it. I want – now, they went from last year not televising the draft to this year televising the draft. Next year, every player that's in the All-Star game needs to be on the court, and they need to do it like you're playing pickup basketball. Point at the people that you want and bring them on your side, and then we get interviews of, hey, how does it feel to go behind X, Y, and Z? Hey, Bradley Beal, how does it feel to be picked last in this thing? That's what we need.
I've got the list of the first six picks that LeBron James did.
They were all free agents or guys that are on his agency. It was brilliant what he did yesterday.
KD player option, Kyrie Irving player option, Kawhi Leonard player option, James Harden under contract, but one of the best players in the game. Anthony Davis requested the trade, and then Klay Thompson is a free agent after the years. Just absolutely genius by LeBron James.
So he's just trying to recruit these guys to get them to LA is what you're telling me, and that's what he's doing with his All-Star team. I like it.
Yo, Giannis was picking teams like he doesn't watch the NBA. That's how Giannis was out there drafting players. Like, Giannis's picks were very bad.
I mean, he got Steph Curry, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope you get a couple of good players in this thing, but LeBron starting five could, probably beat the dream team. Giannis's team might not make the playoffs.
Can I play this audio of Giannis accusing LeBron of tampering real quick?
Yeah, do it.
It's amazing.
With my first pick in the second round, I'm going with Anthony Davis.
You sure you want him to be your teammate?
I'm very sure of that.
Isn't that tampering?
No. Shots fired, and you're up.
Tampering rules does not imply on All-Star Weekend.
BK, can I get a minute, please? All right, so there's this story in the New York Post. It's about Dak Prescott. And about potentially signing a team-friendly deal to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And then the example of Tom Brady giving some money back for the good of the team to bring in better players so they can keep winning championships and keep the dynasty alive. But I'm going to read you a quote from Dak Prescott. This is what he told USA Today. Quote, nobody's wife makes as much money as his wife does either. When Tom Brady isn't the breadwinner in the home, that's a great problem to have. So in that case, he can do that. He can do his contract however he wants to do it. By the way, his supermodel wife, Giselle, pulled in $10 million in 2018, $17.5 million in 2017. So yeah, he can give a little bit of money back. Nobody else is really in that position. So I understand where Dak's coming from. And I bring this up because one of the things that we've talked about on this show is the money that Patrick Mahomes is going to get when he's eligible to get a new contract after next season. So you can live in fantasy land of Mahomes giving money back, to put a better team around him. I don't know the financials of his girlfriend. I think he may be engaged right now. I'm not sure.
But she ain't making $17 million.
But it ain't Giselle money. So just put that away. Not happening. That's my minute.
The only person doing that is Brady. Like, there's no other person that's taking less money. Like, think about how many free agent count quarterbacks come up. Like, Brady's not the only one. Rodgers didn't take less money. Kirk Cousins didn't take less money. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't take less money. Russell Wilson didn't take less money.
Mahomes ain't taking less money.
Derek Carr didn't take, if you play quarterback, I mean, think about your job. If your billion-dollar company comes to you and offers you money, you're going to be like, nah, you know what, guys? Hey, I'm going to give you a little bit more money to make your job easier. No, that ain't how it's working. I want all the coin that I deserve. Get Patrick Mahomes. If I'm you, I'm hitting the Chiefs. I'm hitting them for a fully guaranteed $175 million contract. If I'm Mahomes, that's what I'm trying to do.
And that's what he probably will do.
All right, today I'm going to dedicate my minute to former KU forward Markieff Morris. Now, you, if you're paying attention to where he's been, he started his career in Phoenix. He's now been in Washington, D.C. for the last 3 years. He really embraced the D.C. area. He started a foundation there, and the city started to embrace Markieff Morris. So much so that one of the local pizza places actually decided to give Markieff Morris an endorsement deal. Here's what the commercial sounded like.
Hey, basketball fans, take advantage of our Sunday BOGO. Buy one pizza on Sunday, get the next one free. Delivered right to your door.
You can order with our app or online. Pagano's is bringing it
big time.
So that's what the commercial sounded like. Your typical local pizza spot. It aired for the first time yesterday. If you pay attention to the NBA, you know there was a little bit of other news for Markieff Morris yesterday. He got traded. So the day that his endorsement deal and the commercial that he filmed back in August finally aired, Markieff Morris is now headed out of DC. Some bad timing for a boy, Markieff Morris.
You know what they say about bad things is that they come in threes. So you got the Vic news, Markieff Morris. That means that KU's losing to Oklahoma State tomorrow. That's what it means.
That's what it means?
I mean, I'm just telling you what they say. Is that not what they say about bad news? That it comes in threes?
It comes in threes.
Vic's a KU player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Markieff Morris went to KU.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other bad news? There's got to be something else. I mean, it comes in threes.
Marcus Garrett's not playing tomorrow. Bill Self came out with that. Maybe that's the other one.
I mean, that's old news, though, at this point, though.
Yeah, we thought he was going to play this weekend.
We thought he was playing.
Let's be honest. The Markieff news is really the biggest news for KU of the week.
They wish it was. That's for sure.
All right, guys, let's get into the three random facts for the day. My first random fact for you guys today. I've always liked the idea of getting a tattoo. I apparently have commitment issues, and I've never been able to decide what I would actually get if I wanted to get a specific tattoo.
I've always wanted to get a tattoo. I'm not trying to get hurt. Like, there's nothing I like enough that I would go through any level of pain to have it permanently in my body. Somebody said Svi got traded. That's the other thing.
Svi got traded. He did.
Can you imagine going from the Lakers to the Pistons? Just terrible.
My second random fact of the day for you guys. I'm probably the single worst handyman in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to change my oil.
That's me.
I don't know how to change a tire. I don't know how to fix anything around the house other than a light bulb that went out. I'm the worst handyman probably in Kansas City, not named Carrington Harrison.
How do you guys get to that point? And I'm not the most handiest guy either. But, I mean, I feel like we're all pretty bright guys here. And if you really put your mind to something, you can probably figure it out.
I probably could. I just don't have the interest in doing
it. Is it fear? Like, you're like, man, I don't really know what I'm doing here, so I'm just going to have...
Yeah,
I'm going to ask for help on
if
this.
My garbage disposal gets messed up. I'm not messing with that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be the guy that goes in and tries to fix that. First of all, fear of harm. Second of all, fear of messing it up worse and having to spend even more money to get it fixed the second time.
All you got to do is turn the water off. Turn the water off at the wall. Then you take the bad boy down and you put the new one on it. That one's not a hard one.
Yeah, not going to happen.
I just figure that everybody has skills. That's just not a skill that I have. That's fine. I mean, everybody has things.
When's the last time you repaired anything, C-Dot? Can you remember?
Define repaired.
I don't know. Just something broke, and you're like, instead of just me going and get somebody to fix it or going and buying a new one, you fixed it yourself.
Yeah, I can't think of the last time I did that. Like, no thanks.
Fixing a light bulb? Does that replace it?
I don't know if
that counts.
That doesn't count as repairing.
Yeah. Now, I can actually change the tire to my car. Like, if I got a flat tire, I could change it.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
But, yeah, I mean, if something broke in my apartment, it's either going to stay broken. I know my friends that's their skill. Like, again, everybody has skills. Like, I'm the friend of, if it's time to make a toast, hey, Carrington, you talk the most, give us a toast.
Sure.
I got no issue. That's my skill. I know some of my friends, that's not their skill.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that if I had a garage door and it broken, me fixing it, that's just not my skill. I can't do that. I know people that can do it, but that ain't me.
Yeah, and I remember BK was freaked out that I was able to fix the pulley system on my garage door a while back.
Yeah, I mean, it was a ridiculous thing.
I had no idea what I was doing, but I figured it out.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. Final random fact of the day for you guys. I've done a decent amount of travel. I like to travel. It's one of the things that I enjoy. I've never been to either the Northeast, so basically anywhere north of Florida on the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
and I've never been to the Northwest. I've been to California, but never Oregon or Washington. The one place that I really want to go is I want to get to Portland. I want to get to Portland at some point. That's next on my kind of list of places I would like to travel to.
Where's your favorite place you travel to?
Consistently, probably Denver. would be the spot. I love skiing. I love going whitewater rafting. I love going up in the mountains. There's just so much you can do in Denver.
Had no clue you were Ned Yost. I just didn't. I didn't know that. Was
I don't
the
feel
case.
Like skiing or.
I love skiing and hunting. And
I didn't say
white,
hunting.
What'd you say?
Yeah,
white
you don't look
water
like a hunter
rafting.
To me.
What'd you say?
Whitewater rafting's amazing.
I don't know what that is.
That's a blast. I've done that in Idaho a couple of times.
It's basically a float, which explains why CDOT hasn't done
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's water's
but
involved.
Instead I don't know how to swim. Slow moving yeah. water, it's fast moving water.
You couldn't,
which
like,
is where the whitewater rapids.
CDOT, so if you had to save your life and you found yourself in a pool of water,
I would die.
You don't know how to float? You don't know how to dog paddle?
I would die.
Really?
I would die.
All right.
It wouldn't be I would die.
So if somebody, you're at a party, somebody pushes you in a pool, you're done.
I mean, I could swim enough to get to the side of the pool,
okay,
but like,
it.
If I fell off a boat,
yeah.
like if I was like, if you was like, hey, I got this boat, let's go on the boat, let's go on Longview Lake, and I did not have a life jacket on,
mm-hmm.
and I fell in the water, if you didn't come save me, I would die.
It's the same as a pool. You just swim back to the boat. You
yeah,
find your
but
way
I
back.
Mean, I don't know. I don't know anybody's. I don't know anybody's pool that's the same size as Longview Lake.
But
I,
it's
I
still water. You know, you just the biggest thing is don't panic. You know, you start panicking and then you're dropping straight to the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know you were going over Jeff Bezos' house that has a pool that big. Because if Jeff Bezos had a pool that big, I would die in his pool too. But like your pool in your backyard, if I dive in the 12-foot, I can swim enough to get yeah. to the side, but no, I would 100% die.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Like
to
no question, I would die.
Really?
Yeah, we don't need that around this show.
No, we don't
need Carrington to die.
That's why
need,
I don't go
don't
near the water.
That.
Again,
yeah.
I know my limitations. That ain't me. You know what I mean? Like I know I'm not aquatic. I know that I can't swim.
Yeah.
So I don't do any water activities. I'm not going on
have
your
you been,
float
have you
trip.
Been on a boat?
Yeah, as a kid, but I wore a life jacket because yeah. I realized that if something happens and yeah. I fall in this water, I will die.
Yeah. Just take it from me. Don't panic. If it happens at some point in your life and you fall in a lake, just don't panic.
I don't ever plan on falling in a lake because
okay.
I don't really plan on going near the lake
okay.
very often.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm the person that when I go to the ocean, I'm going to like, you know, I'll run a little bit, but like once it starts to get near my waist,
yeah.
hey, I'm coming back.
Then
I don't want no parts of it.
Have you ever gone boogie boarding?
What the hell is
Come
boogie
on.
Boarding?
Yeah, it's like the little boards that you run and you jump
I feel
on.
Like I should have known the answer to that
yeah,
one,
Yeah, you knew
too.
The answer to that
You mean
one,
like
right?
DeMarcus Cousins? I don't know what
no.
boogie you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a little
different. Different.
You're talking about Blaming on the Boogie by Michael Jackson?
Yeah,
a little
similar,
different
but different.
All right, yeah, I don't know anything what you guys are talking about. Pop quiz!
And going to air. Quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The Pop Quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner gets a large pizza to the other place. Today's Pop Quiz is a movie. BK, take it away.
So before you come back here with another lame-ass offer, I want you to think real hard about what your spine is worth, Mr. Walker, or what you might expect someone to pay you for your uterus, Ms. Sanchez. Then you take out your calculator and you multiply that number by 100. Anything less than that is a waste of our time.
If you know what movie that is, be calling number 6-913-576-7610, and that large pie to the other place is yours. Coming up in just a little bit, Fanning thinks this is the beginning of the end for Kansas coach Bill Self. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.